In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we approach the Feast of Theophany, I would like to share with you a letter that is written to us by our Bishop Anthony. As we celebrate this great Feast of Theophany or Epiphany, we know that the birth of Christ and his work on earth was also the will of the Holy Trinity. It was a common will for the common good, so to speak, first of man's salvation and also of all creation. Originally, at least in the East, Christmas and Epiphany, the birth of Christ, his baptism by John in the Jordan, and the pilgrimage of the Magi to the place of Christ's birth, were one great feast and festival, celebrating, especially emphasized at Theophany, the fact that God became man. Just a note, did you notice in that sentence that the blessed Epiphany of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was the climax? That was the Feast of Feasts in this particular season of the year. The second person of the Holy Trinity takes on human nature and restores it to beauty and its original destiny. Immediately following the feast of the circumcision of our Lord, at the pre-feast or fore-feast for Epiphany, the Apostolic verses on January 2nd read, "The feast just passed was glorious, O Savior, but the coming feast is more luminous. Before the angel announced thy birth, now the forerunner prepares for your mission on earth." The former had the pouring out of the martyr's blood in the death of the innocents when Bethlehem cried, while on this feast, after the water is blessed, many become fruitful. There the star announced to the Magi, but now the Father reveals, and the Holy Spirit confirms thee to be the Savior of the world. May he who deigned to be baptized by John in the Jordan for our salvation and reveal to us the Holy Trinity bless you and be with you always, Bishop Anthony. Yeah. And now Deacon Jeff will give the sermon.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A lot of us here have gone on trips, and some of us who go on longer trips overseas and so forth know what's involved to get ready for trips. But it's exciting. It's just exciting, like as in the church. I want us to think of our time. So we had to go on through Advent for 40 days, just as we go through 40-day Lenten period. And that's kind of like a journey. It's always a journey towards something, towards a great destination. Think about it when you go on a journey somewhere, whether maybe you're going to Grand Canyon, you're going to Europe, wherever. You're always looking forward to that exciting end of the road, and you get ready for it. And there's a lot to do. There's plane tickets to get ready, or you have to get your money saved up to be able to go and to enjoy the things that you're going to go enjoy. There's a lot that's involved. Thus far, the road we've been journeying has led to Bethlehem. It's led to the manger and to the child, the adoration of the three Magi, and the anger of that upended King Herod. But we need to go a little further. The journey always continues. That's the blessing of it. And we always repeat that journey every year. The next step is, of course, the salvation road upon which rest. As the gospel for this Sunday before Theophany opens with the scene of John the forerunner in baptizing. So let's go through this text for a few moments together. The first verse, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is interesting to note that St. Mark chooses to begin his gospel not with St. Matthew's genealogy, not with the story of Mary and Joseph in the manger, not with the story of the Magi, but with this scene, the preparation for the baptism. that of the forerunner in Baptist John and the baptismal scene of Theophany that we're going to celebrate this week. It's interesting and powerful because the center on the message is on whom? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his baptism. That's what his grace was getting at in that letter today. It's talking about the original celebration climaxed in this Theophany event, in the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, because the emphasis is on the Son of God come for our salvation. In the early church, again, the celebration of Jesus' birth and the Theophany baptismal scene were one celebration. And that's why you can still find in one church a celebration of Christmas and Theophany still together. That's the Armenian church. I've always wanted to go to one of their Armenian services, but it's all the way across the state at St. John's Armenian Church in Detroit. That would be kind of exciting to go and to witness. But it is, again, a confession of who this Christ really is. It gets at the meat of Christmas right away. A strong proclamation is here made. He is God, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, the Son of God. These are the seeds of the very Nicene Creed. Very God of very God, begotten, not made, here proclaimed in this Gospel of Mark. In verse 2, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Absolutely nothing is left to chance in the salvation plan of our Lord and God. Our Lord never springs ideas on us or surprises his human creatures. He prepares, as we're called to prepare. He prepared this time of salvation for every one of us here today from the very beginning of time. And he has told us about it as written in the prophets over and over and over. Nothing is left to chance. Nothing. Not for our salvation. Not in anything in this world in which we have been given in creation. Nothing is left to chance. It is seen in the marvels of creation as science itself shows us. From every molecule, every atom, every neutron under a neutron microscope, from every leaf on a tree, to every wonderfully made piece of creation, it proclaims nothing is left to chance. All is prepared for us and continues to be given to us. Our Lord does nothing suddenly spring upon us, good or bad. When in the case of Israel of old, when they sinned, when they turned against him, even then his patience and his mercy through the prophets gave them opportunity time and time again to repent, to turn away from their sin and turn back to him. Nothing was sprung upon them suddenly as a punishment. Again, it was prepared even in a time of sin to come back in repentance. The prophets know that said, no ear might hear, nor heart with inclination be moved to repent, but be turned again to his mercy. And so it is with us. This marvelous work we are celebrating these 2 weeks has been foretold. And yet it is not old, it is fresh and it is new, each and every liturgy that we celebrate together. For our Lord's prophets still speak afresh to us. If we were those hearing this prophecy for the first time, it would still be fresh. Prepare his way, his coming, again to judge the living and the dead. Prepare your hearts in repentance today. Make straight paths for him. Clear the way of the junk in our lives that we so often trip over. I love it, this past week, we at our home, we got into a cleaning frenzy. Finally, we were getting sick of tripping on things in our house. And so finally, we went to town and we took up the boxes and stored things away in our storage shed or in our storage unit to clear the way. And that's the way it is in our life. We have a lot of junk in the path of our lives. A lot of passions, a lot of sins that we constantly trip over in our lives, and we need to clean them out. And that's what the prophet is talking about today. That's what John means when he says, prepare the way, clear the way of your sins, and come to him in repentance and have a clean life, a clean slate. We need to clean up and move the junk. And that's why our Lord has blessed us as we prepare not only for this feast coming, but the next feast again and again and again, with the sacrament of confession. There is the place to prepare the way of our Lord. The things that get in our way, we can come before our Lord in His witness, the priest, and we can clear them out. We don't need to look at confession as a time of judgment. It is a time to prepare. It is St. John the Baptist coming to us again and again, speaking these words. Let us take advantage of this great gift that our Lord has given us to prepare His way, this gift of confession. And verse 4, so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem came out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized. John does just what the church is called to do. The mission is very simple, to preach the word that our Lord gives us, not our own words. St. Paul told Timothy at his ordination these beautiful words, reminding us that we are forerunners, that we're called to preach the word in season and out of season, no matter what the climate is in our society, to prepare the way by preaching the words of our Lord and living those words that He has given us. We are entrusted as the people of God with the very message John was given. A lot of people came looking at St. John the Baptist as if he were some sort of a public spectacle. People are often sheep who follow and follow those who are false shepherds to be led astray. But we are entrusted with a critical job as the church here, a critical job in Holland itself, as St. John was in the desert. We have a tremendous job as modern forerunners who are continually making straight a path for others to see this Christ. Our little community in Holland, St. Willebrand, is charged to do as John the Baptist did, as Timothy did, as the fathers who followed did. Preach the word in season and out of season. Live the word in our lives so that others will not stumble by our actions, but will see Christ in them. Finally, verses 7 to 8. This was his message. After me will come one, more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. What great humility. What great servanthood is found here in St. John the Baptizer. What a powerful word of witness. I remember it, our first priest, Father Andrew, on the other side of the state, and I've heard this from other priests before, have always had a great phrase about orthodoxy in the faith. It's not about you. We oftentimes want to mold our faith to be about us even. But we are called to be the humble witness only, like St. John. It is not about me. I must decrease, said John the Baptizer, that he may increase in the world. The true humility of the kind St. John the Baptizer showed is truly difficult. John would find out how hard it was. He would truly humble himself even unto death. When you remember St. John giving that witness before Herodias, saying, this is what God says. I cannot move any farther. You are wrong. You have sinned. You need to come back in repentance. And it cost him his very head. Yes, being humble and a humble witness is what the martyrs have always done. But it is always the winning way. For out of the blood of the martyrs comes the growth of the church and the growth of faith. The witness of John and the witness we are called to will always, done in humility, produce great things. We will decrease. Christ will increase and his church will increase. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That is a loaded promise, one which has come to pass for us, for Christ was baptized. His baptism, and I'm sure that Father Steve will be speaking more on the Theophany this week, it was a baptism into our sinfulness. He did not need baptism. We need his baptism. That's why he came to the Jordan. St. Paul said this to the Corinthians in chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In baptism, we are joined to this Christ and made his servants. Let us come. Let us prepare these next few days. That's why this is called the Four Feasts now. Let us prepare in repentance and our hearts and minds to come to this glorious event that Christ has entered those holy waters, sanctified them for us, that we in our baptism are joined to him, and by that power may be his servants, his John, the baptizers this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.